Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, we have been talking for some time, as you're all aware, on the matter of foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. Again, I like to just review all the time because this is what marks believers out. The issue of the word foundations. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. What does that mean? It means that if we see something outwardly, if you see a man who is successful, now we're talking about financial prosperity, so let's use that materially, okay? Successful materially. The Bible says that what really is the source of that is spiritual. Do you understand my point? That is, what you can see physically in his life is not what brought that one to be. But the things that are really the foundation for what he's experiencing are things that we cannot see. And that's when we started, we laid our most important emphasis on the issue of foundations. The fear of God, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the matter of walking righteously every day. Like Jesus will say, do unto others what you would like them to do to you. Those are the foundations of financial prosperity in life. Let me say it again. You may be going for the same thing, that is apparently, but God uses a different method from the method of the world. If you go and read Psalm 118, he said, open to me the gates of God, the righteous will enter through them. That tells you that we may want to enter a particular thing, but there are different gates that claim to lead to that. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, Jesus will say, enter by the narrow gate, because broad is a way that leads to destruction. Do you understand my point? Now, if you notice, both people, they are trying to enter a particular thing. And they say what you will experience when you have entered into a thing is decided by the gate by which you entered into that thing. I don't know whether you get my point. What I'm saying, let me quickly expand on it a bit. It's very important. What you will experience when you have entered into something is determined not by what you have, but by how you got it. Let me explain. Your ability to enjoy financial prosperity is not dependent upon the amount of money you have, but is dependent upon how you got the money that you have. Do you understand my point? Whether your life will be preserved, whether money will turn out to be a cost to your family, like somebody said, all right, or it will be a blessing, is dependent upon how that thing came into your life. That thing is very crucial. That's one thing you should bear in mind whatever you are doing in life. It is not just about getting something. It's how you get it. Now, we're talking about financial prosperity, but it applies to everything in life. Let's take marriage as an example. It is not whether I have gotten a good husband. No. It is how I got him that decides whether I will be happy or I will not be happy. It's not whether, let me see whether I can get a good wife. That's not what will bring joy and satisfaction into your life maritally. It is how, all right, whether I entered by the gates of God. So if you go to Psalm 118, and the same thing Jesus was referring to, he said, open for me the gates of righteousness or the gates of God. He said, the righteous enter by them. Do you understand my point? Listen, be very careful in life. You know, this is how Satan baits people. He thinks it's just about money. He came up to Eve. He said, you want to be very wise? Yes. Now, let me show you something. Eat of that fruit. And Eve said, no. That one we are not supposed to eat. And look at this. This one, listen, this is a lesson of life we must bear in mind. It's very crucial, please, what I'm saying. The problem, all right, what Satan sold to Eve in that account in Genesis, the method he used to persuade Eve was to make the result look like what the main thing is supposed to be. Are you getting my point? He said, you will become wise. You will become like God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, so people think that the end, therefore, should justify the means. But rather, what God says is that the end is determined by the means. Do you follow what I'm saying? So when God was going to judge, he wasn't judging about the noble, whether the aim was noble or not. It's how did we get into that? Do you follow what I mean? Which was noble. You know, all the time as a minister, you know, I talk to people who give you good counsel, that is well-meaning counsel on how to do ministry. But I always say, no, there is a method of God for doing whatever you have to do. And what you will end up with in life is not what you tried to get. That is, you are looking for wealth. You want to be financially successful. It is not that money or financial success that is the issue. It is how you are going about it. That's what will determine whether what you are getting, all right, will bless you or it will not. So when I talk with ministers, the same thing I say. It's not just about, whatever we are doing, it's just at least so that we can reach the world. Listen, it is how we are reaching them. That is why when I'm preaching, like, for example, when I'm talking about matter of money, giving, and all of that, I always try to lay the correct thing. I will never, ever give selfishness as a motive for why you should give because I want you to support my ministry. If you count it as a matter of responsibility, you will be blessed. But the things that give something so you can get, then you're in trouble. Are you getting my point? There are things that are noble, that are right concerning methods. And why God is so emphatic on the matter of methods, all right, is because he's the one that gives the fruit. He said, I planted, Paul was speaking, Apollos watered. It's God that gave the increase. He said, each man will receive his reward according to his labor. So if we want to be blessed in life as believers, we must learn the method of God. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, from your youth you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That is, by studying the word of God. And if I was reading Ken Hagin today again, just reading a few bits of his book, and he explained about the arrival of light, that when we study God's word, that light shines upon our souls so that each person will know what he's supposed to do. In that his book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, I said, look, this is exactly what we are saying. That what we will discover is a wisdom for what? Salvation. That is, the light of God will show you what is right to do. It's very vital we understand that. So it's not just what we are getting, but how. Are you following my point? Please, get it very clear. That's what he's recording. How did you set about to achieve that thing? So it's very important. Just that I want to review, all right? So, you know, each time I review, I come from another angle. So we can get it solidly into our hearts. So that this thing can settle. For us to understand that outward things are not primary with God. They are secondary. It's a means by which you want to get them. That's why I say all the time, people say, what's somebody looking for? I say, listen, you can look for anything in life. God doesn't care. What he concerns himself with is how do you intend to find it? Do you understand my point? That's what he concerns himself with. If you decide that, look, you want to live in a house that has 17 floors, only you, it's not a sin. Listen to me, it's not a sin. It's just a desire. He decided that, look, you want to have 24 cars, all right? 12 different models in 2 different colors. It's a desire. There's nothing wrong with it. You want to have your own personal airstrip with 2 different jets parked at the back of your house. It's a desire. There is nothing wrong with it. Desires like that, look, it's nothing. It's nothing. I mean, Jabez approached God and prayed and asked for great things, and God gave it to him. When Solomon finished pleasing God, God promised him material things. So there's no big deal about that. Where's the big deal? What is the gate you want to enter into that thing by? You want to enter it into being very sharp and crooked and defrauding people? Claiming you are what you are not? I'm having everybody give you money and then you run away with their money? That is where the problem is. Or you want to pray because, listen, I'm going to talk about that along this line again. The matter of prayer. The way, number one way by which believers get results is by prayer. Are you getting my point? You will go to God like Jabez. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. And then God will show you. There are a number of things God does. There are times he refines your desires and says, oh boy, that is not necessary in this your lifetime. Because you have approached unto him. There are times he won't even say that. All he will do is that he will take you through methods that if you want to achieve that, listen, this is what you are going to do. Walk before me and be perfect. Then I will bring those things to birth in your life. Now, I'm not in a hurry. Because the first thing I do is to emphasize your walk with me into perfection. So we'll perfect you first. Look, listen, child of God, this is what you must bear in mind. Every experience of your life, listen, first lay a foundation in the love of God. Lay a foundation by faith in Christ Jesus. Afterwards, every experience of your life, all right, is part of what God is using to perfect you. And that's what God is going for. Look, there's what is more precious than gold, the trial of your faith. The faith you will come out with, do you understand what I'm saying? It's more important than the material things you acquire in life. Please, let's put that one in mind, though. That's the most important foundation for us to have. All right, so we've been talking about that. Now, so, among the last time I began to talk about one of the pillars, all right, or I concluded talking about one of the pillars of financial prosperity, I said the power of skillful excellence. And I emphasized something that Joseph and Daniel were promoted, okay, because of the kind of spirit that they have. Now, when we talk about spirit, it's not just saying that, look, oh, I'm a child of God, I have the spirit of Christ in me. That is, when we are saying spirit now, it should reflect in how, I mean, people will be able to observe that your attitude towards things is, they are very different, all right? That you have a different attitude compared with other people to things in life. That's when we're talking about spirit. Spirit is the motivation, the force working inside you. Do you understand what I mean? The perspective with which you are looking at life. And I said that because of that spirit of excellence that was found in Daniel and in Joseph, those were the things that the king looked at and he elevated them. Don't forget this. Joseph was not elevated because he was a Jew. Nobody cared about the fact that his father had a covenant with God. I hope you understand my point. It wasn't part of the discussion. So don't go out to your office and be harassing your boss that I'm a child of God. You can't sack me. Do you get what I'm trying to say? If you are inefficient, you should be fired. Alright? Your being a child of God doesn't make any difference. Your child of godness, you understand my English there, alright, is between you and your God at home. What he will do in the place of prayer for you is that he will pour a spirit of excellence into you so that when you step into your office, do you understand? Your boss will notice, like Laban noticed. Laban said concerning Jacob that I have divined that God blessed me because of you. Do you follow me? I mean, you don't have to be singing praises in the office for them to know you are a Christian. You don't have to wear a badge. Believe it or not, I'm a child of God. Yes, it's hard to believe. So that's why you have to wear the badge. You know what I'm trying to explain? What should mark you out is the spirit. People should know concerning Daniel, it was spoken that when he was examined in all the affairs of the king, there was no negligence of corruption found in him. That's how you know a child of God. Do you get my point? It's not the name he bears. I believe in change of name, all right? I changed my name at a particular point in time, but that's not to advertise my Christianity. It is my personal persuasion. We're not trying to advertise by badges and names. The advert, all right, for our faith is the spirit of excellence with which we do our work. Are you getting my point? When you become a reference point, I say it to all the time to students, please, stop going around looking for miracles with which God will deliver you out of failure. Now, you see, the problem we have a lot of times is that we emphasize those miracles because they indeed happened here and there. I personally have experienced several of them. I can tell you many stories. I don't have the time, and it's part of our scope for now. I've had God manifest dramatically, not only in my life, but in the life of many of my friends. Like Paul would say, let me boast of other people's experiences. If you read this man, Ben Carson, Gifted Hands, in that book, all right? You should read a lot, all right? It helps you to understand affairs of life. He explained how he was about to fail in his pre-med school. And then one day after praying and crying to God, he had a kind of dream or vision or something. And somebody came into class and he was alone in that class, in that dream, and was solving problems on the board. And he observed all the problems he solved. When he woke up, he realized that this was a dream. So he began to recollect all the things that happened in the dream. The ones he couldn't remember, at least he remembered the problem. So he went into his book and went and studied it. And he went into exam next day, and there it was. All the problems that man saw for him in the dream, it was there. But one thing I said about Ben Carson, you will notice a man with a real spirit, a spirit of excellence. You know what happened to him? After that, he went home and prayed and said, God, thank you, but let me make you a promise. I will never put myself in that kind of position where I will need that kind of manifestation again. Because he understood that's not the divine way. That was an emergency method. I made a statement some time ago. Some people wonder, what do you mean? I said, God doesn't like working miracles. They think, I said, what do you mean? Because we advertise all the time, God, miracle, miracle, miracle. That's not the way God does things normally. What does God expect? What God would have loved is that Ben Carson will be in class, all right? He will be a very diligent student, regular for his lectures, studying at the appropriate time, resting at the appropriate time, and having more understanding than everybody else, so that when they question him, like Daniel, they will find him 10 times better than everybody else. That's what God loves. So that when he goes in for the exam, it's with confidence he will go in and come out. Not in self-confidence, but in what God has done in his life. It's more of, I know what God has done in my life before now. Are you getting my point? When you want to bid for a job, maybe as a contract, as a contractor, as a Christian, yes, you need divine favor. I like that. No, I mean, it's important. I understand that. You need it. You need God to pour a special oil upon you that people will love you. That is true. But please, that is an addition to your history of excellence. Do you understand my point? Don't go there with everything bad about you. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's very vital. People should be known. Or in fact, I remember one man who used to do some work for me. How did I get to know him? A friend of mine was driving past his shop and he saw the things on display and he stopped and said, who made these things? And they called the man for him. And that's how he became his regular customer. He was driving by. Are you getting my point? It's very vital. That's what God wants Christians to be. It's not that anytime you're mediocre, you are just like anybody else, and you go and put a big billboard in front of your shop, Jesus is coming soon, we really believe that incorporated. That doesn't make you, that's not what God wants. You may as well pull A, B, C to Z, you know, enterprises, meaning nothing. But excellence will show that this guy knows a God that the rest of us don't know. I like the story of Demos Shakarian, and I encourage you to read all these books that I mentioned once in a while. In his book, the biography, The Happiest People on Earth, the story of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, Demos Shakarian will show you how God helped him to be a successful dairy farmer. That is, his testimony was that he was so good in picking the kind of bulls that he will introduce into his head. And when they will ask him, how did you know? Then he will explain that actually the Spirit of God lets me know which one to pick. What I'm trying to say is that his excellence was shown in his ability to breed animals. So that became a point of what? Testimony. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to us. I'm just finalizing the things that I spoke on last time. The power of skillful excellence. He says, do you see a man who is skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before mean men, obscure men. Please, it's important. Let me talk especially to those who are students. Don't be satisfied with just passing. I have noticed, this is a serious problem today, as far as I'm concerned, in the educational system in Nigeria. People think it's about passing. They think it's about certificate. I've heard of lecturers, you know, offer marks. Okay, you can't come for the exam, so just pay. I give you a mark. If somebody allowed you that, refuse it. You don't need it. It's like in Nigeria these days, everybody just pays for a driver's license. We think it's about having the license. And that's why there are so many accidents on the roads. They say it's because the roads are bad. It's not true. I have observed the reason why we have accidents on the roads in Nigeria is not because the roads are bad. It's because the drivers are generally very bad. It's true. Because we think it's about the driver's license. The policeman stops you. Where's your license? You show it. But well, nobody does any test to find out whether you can drive. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. So that culture is already in our minds. We think it's about the paper in our hands. That somebody gave you an A. That's not it. It's not about somebody allowed you to pass. I always say to my students, it's not about passing, it's about learning. Are you getting my point? You should desire to know it, not just to pass it. It should be your desire to know the stuff. This thing I'm saying is very important. Don't be relieved when the course is over. Let my people go. You shouldn't be happy that somebody has given the lowest level of passing. They gave you a D, gave you an E. Say, oh, let my people go. I'm relieved that course is over. Because it was a D. I said, there's nothing that is hard. It's an attitude. When they tell you it's hard, all of you will cooperate to say it is hard. And the more you say something is difficult, the more your brain accepts it's difficult and your brain shuts down. Like, assume your brain has 8 cylinders. It shuts down 5 cylinders anytime you bring up that course. Why? Because you told it this is hard. You told it this is difficult. And that's it. Suddenly you find it look, listen. When General Israel were going into the promised land, you know what God said? He said, you have said in my hearing, that's exactly what I will do to you. Listen, this is an interesting thing. Looking at the story of the Bible, were they able to take the promised land? Of course, you know they were able. God was with them. They are taking difficult things before. They came out of Egypt with God supporting them by a mighty hand. God had equipped them. All they needed to do was to show up and the giants would disappear. But they looked at the giants and told themselves, we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. Who told them that? They just assumed. That's the general gist. He said, we have looked at it, we are like grasshoppers. God never said you will defeat them because you are bigger than them. He said, you will defeat them because I have promised you the land. That's all. But the moment they opened their mouths and said, no, I can't do it, and that's it, they couldn't do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? When we keep on making excuses for why we can't do something, I always say that, look, why is that the suits and clothes you wear, they are very nice, they come from Asia. I've seen a Chinese man, he's a short man, he's not as tall as a Nigerian. Are you following my point? There's nothing in him that is better than what you have. It's just because you just decide that, no, there's power failure, so
We can't do it. When he started doing it, there was no power, not to even talk about failing of it. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I'm talking about what? The spirit of excellence. It was that spirit. He said, can we find a man like this guy? Seeing that in him dwells the spirit of the gods. That was what Pharaoh said concerning Joseph. When we were going to talk about Daniel, I like the way Belshazzar's mother said it. That's in Daniel chapter 5. He said concerning that Daniel, he said Nebuchadnezzar made him chief of magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. In verse 12, he said this was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel. Now, that's a very great testimony. And listen, that's how God will lift you up as a believer. Not because you claim that you're a child of God. Before the interview, you anointed your head. Listen, the anointing is good. Believe me, I believe in anointing. But I don't believe in anointing empty heads that are going to disgrace God when they give him a job. That's the one I don't like. Let me tell you what anointing does for you. Let me tell you the truth. Listen to me as a child of God. What it does for you is that it helps you overcome all those disadvantages of not knowing people. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Because you know the way it is. You can be very well qualified for a particular job. Somebody said because he knows the minister. Alright? He gets it. Those are the kind of things that the anointing does for you. It doesn't give you a mark you cannot sustain. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? God wouldn't want to do that. He's not a champion of mediocrity. You get what I'm saying? He doesn't want to, after he used all his power to bring you into a place, when problem comes now, where are you? They say you have gone to church. They say, well, they are doing special program in our church. You come to church in the morning, you are sleeping. What happened? We did all night service. You don't have enough sense to know that if you have work next day, you don't stay awake the whole night. You go around disgracing the name of the God that gave you the job. But how do we reflect our God? Is like the testimony of Daniel. And that's what he's going to use to lift you from one place to the other. Listen, I know that indeed there will be times, there are people who will not like you and therefore they will not promote you as you ought to be promoted. And I can prove it. Just read the story of Daniel. People ganged up against him. But what happened to them? They died. He lived. Do you understand what I'm saying? As at this time, Daniel was out of favor. It happens. At this particular point, we're reading this story. Daniel served the former king. And when the new king came out, he chose his own cabinet. But because of the spirit of excellence in Daniel, are you getting my point? He was just there waiting. Problem came up one day, they called him back because of that spirit of excellence. So listen, I tell people, don't worry about promotion. Worry about your excellence. Are you getting my point? That which you can do, do it well. Let promotion be secondary. It's very vital. It's not, you don't fight for that promotion. It's scheming and lobbying and doing yes, yes. I hate yes, yes, people. Psychophants. In the front of the boss, yes. You want to do everything nice once it's present. Why? Because you think from him comes promotion. One day they will remove that boss and you will go with him. That's the way it works. There's no king that's permanent. None. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. None. But if it's your excellence that established you in a place, do you understand? Even though they changed the king 10 times. I like the story then of them. Well, we all know about Dewukas, Dewu. That conglomerate, one of the things they do was construction. They said then, I think in Sudan then, not Sudan that's broken down in pieces now. I have like different governments, the country is in pieces, all right? But Sudan then, they survived 5 changes of government. Because the people understood that these guys were good and came to build this country. They survived 5 changes of government. You know, the way it is, one government goes. The next one, all the contractors that used to work for them, they stop working. And that side comes. Even in our Nigeria, you know companies, all right? Whichever government, you have to contract them. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, we must imbibe that spirit, all right? Listen, anything you are doing, don't be satisfied, okay, with whatever it is, but the best. You understand my point? And you can always get better. You are a movie producer. You ask yourself, why is it that when they are talking in an American movie or even Indian movie, the voice is stable throughout? But once it's our own, now when the camera is far, we can't hear. When it is close, we hear clearly. No, these are simple questions. You know, they watch one movie, you see it there. I'm being real. That's the reason why I don't like watching some of these things. But we are so content. Listen, let money not be driving you up and down. You'll be churning out half-baked products. The Bible says that a good name is better than gold. It's better than riches. A good name. If it is moving, you are doing, let people, once they hear that name, once they hear that name, they know excellence is there. What I'm noticing is that what makes people come out with inferior things, all right, is this love for money. You want to quickly do 10 of it and gather money and buy a car, build a house and say, hey, you're a success. We don't go after good name. We don't go after good name. What am I saying? It's when we are going after things that don't matter, we forget the things that really matter. Are you getting my point? You did a job for somebody. You charged him 25,000 naira. By the time you are through, all right, you have spent 20,000 naira of the money. You've made 5,000 naira profit, except that he now showed you all the defects in the work you did. All you are thinking about is that, how do I lose this 5,000 naira now? You understand the point? That's where the problem is. You know what God says? Lose it. Use the little profit you've made to repair the job. If you have to take more money, more than the one you charged him, do it. But let it be that by the time he's leaving that place, he's thoroughly satisfied. But there's only my wife and I say all the time about restaurants. Now, why do you charge people plenty of money, yet you can't fill their stomach? I don't know where you get the point. As a restaurant, charge any money you like. But please, let people live there with their stomach full. Nobody say, I finished paying 700 naira for rice and chicken. As soon as I come out, they buy gala. Meanwhile, I spent 700 naira on your rice and chicken. You're an evil soul. Wicked being. What am I going to explain there? The point I'm just trying to make is that when the person is leaving, all right, the person should be hyper-satisfied. You may have lost money on that particular job, but you have gained some experiences which are vital. And more importantly, you have what? A good name. I always say something to businessmen. Everybody will get the first customer. But no business is built into success on new customers. No. You can't keep depending on new customers. You need the old ones to return. And not only return, but bring their friends with them when they are coming. They advertise for you more than TV or newspaper. Like somebody said, the quickest way to kill a bad product is advertise it. So make a good product and let those who use it be the one to return, not only for themselves, but with other people, and recommend you to other people. That is how your business will become excellent. If you open a nonsense shop in the market, don't worry, somebody will enter one day. But will he come back the next day? It's what will decide whether your business will close or to remain open. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.